There's probably impossible for a Christian not to know the second verse of our gospel reading this morning. God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, so that everyone who believes may not perish, but may have eternal life. Some of you sports fans and non-sports fans who probably watched Super Bowls of past or football games, those of you with a long memory, might remember in many football games long ago, there was often a man who used to hold up a sign in the end zone. Remember that? The goalpost? And his sign had this same verse in big, bold letters and numbers. John 3:16. It probably sent more than a few curious fans to their Bibles over the years. It's a beautiful verse about belief in Jesus. It tells us that those who believe in Jesus will have eternal life. Of course, that's only part of the story. One has not only to believe in Jesus, but one also has to follow him. Years ago, when I was back east, back in New England, I made a retreat at a Trappist monastery that I went to when I was in college. It's a Trappist monastery in Spencer, Massachusetts. Just a beautiful, you can look it up, it's just St. Joseph's Abbey. It's just a beautiful, beautiful monastery. There's still about 60, 70 monks there that live in silence, of course. The Trappists live a very austere life. And as you may know, if you ever made a retreat, silent retreat, they have what is called reading at table, and that is, since the meals are taken in silence, they play an audio book over the loudspeakers in the refectory, in the dining room, and it's great because it not only masks the sound of everybody chewing their food and clinking their silverware, but it provides spiritual nourishment. And this is similar to what the monks themselves do in their refectory, who live in silence. They have reading at table as well, although one of the monks does the reading. Well, in any event, the book in question was written by a Franciscan spiritual master, Father Richard Rohr. And the book is called Breathing Underwater. It's really quite wonderful, and I highly recommend it. In one arresting passage, he reminds readers that Jesus never ever says, "Worship me." Never once will you find him saying, "Worship me." But he does say over and over again, "Follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me." In other words, it's not enough simply to worship Jesus as the Son of God or to believe in Jesus as the Son of God. One has to follow up belief with action. So yes, anyone who believes in Jesus will have eternal life. But part of belief is practice, is following Jesus, is doing what Jesus did, and that is putting on the mind of Christ. Eternal life begins now. It doesn't begin when we die. We are eternal. We came from God. We're the handiwork of God, as we hear in the epistle. But back to that phrase from John. It's not only about belief. It's about something else. It's about something God does. God loved the world. Love the world. You know, too often Christianity is presented in a way that makes it sound as if the story of Jesus is all about a God having to be pacified, having to be persuaded to forgive. And often we carry with us this image of an angry, unforgiving God and a loving, forgiving Jesus. But here in the text, it tells us that God is the one who started it all. God sends his Son, even aware that his Son will have to suffer. And why does God send his Son? Out of love. Because God loves us. Back in the Middle Ages, there was an argument between Franciscans and the Dominicans. And at one time, I was on the Dominican side, since I'm a Dominican, was in the Dominican order. The Dominicans argued that Jesus had to come only because of sin, The Franciscans on the other side, especially Don Scotus, argued, no, whether there was sin or not, Jesus still would have come out of love. See, God does not come to us out of a negative in response to something we did. No, God comes out of a positive, which is love. It was a great argument. Jesus said he came that we may have life and have it to the full. That's why he came, to show us how to be fully human and therefore divine as he is. God's not someone who sends Jesus in order that Jesus might be punished so that our sins will be wiped out. God is not an angry monarch seeking vengeance or retribution for our sins. No, God is more like the Father in the parable of the prodigal son, who is not happy until his wandering children have come home. In the letter, 1 John, I believe, it says, God is love. That is the essence of the being of God, is love. God cannot not love, no matter what. No matter what. There's a beautiful meditation from St. Ignatius Spiritual Exercises. So I spoke about the Franciscan Dominicans, now it's the Jesuit term. And this meditation, it speaks about the Trinity looking down on the world in love and in compassion. And the Trinity sees all of humanity, some at peace and some at war, some weeping and others laughing, some healthy and others sick, some being born and others dying. It is a beautiful meditation of care and compassion. And the Trinity decides to send the second person, Jesus, out of love. All of this is motivated by God's love. And finally, I'd have you notice the scope of God's love, how all-inclusive God's love is. It does not say that God loves Israel so much that he sends his only begotten son. It doesn't say that God loves the apostles and disciples and followers of Jesus and Catholics so much that he sent his only son. It says that God loves the world, creation, all of creation. And that's an easy thing to forget when we sometimes attempted to see the church as being against the world. And that has often been quite the case, the church against the world. But God loves the world. How could God not? She created it. And if you doubt that, remember that one of the key documents of the Second Vatican Council, if you've ever read the documents, it was not called the church against the modern world. It wasn't called the church above the modern world. It was called the church in the modern world. And so when you're tempted to think of God as angry or unforgiving or vengeful judge, just remember this passage. Remember who loves you. Who loves you, baby? God is crazy about you. You are God's beloved. We're never and never was separated from God. That's an illusion. Never were we separated from God. We can choose to alienate ourselves from God, and that is what we call sin. And we're free to do that, to disconnect us from the source. And then we end up doing all kinds of crazy things. But if we stay connected to the source, to that love, we become that which we know is in us. So I hope you know that, not just in your head, but rather in your heart of hearts, that you experience that deep within you where it counts. Because in God's eyes, you're beautiful, no matter what anybody else, even yourself, thinks or says.